the Prime Minister of Canada, and of course, the Prime Minister's lovely wife as well, there were some actual substantive agreements announced, and many of them were relating to environmental issues. There was some discussion of protecting Arctic areas, wetlands, and conservation as well. But the big one was pledging to reduce the methane gas emissions of the oil and gas sector in North America by 45% by 2025. That is obviously a significant cut on a relatively tight time span, at least by the standards of these things. Joining me now to offer a little perspective on this, I'm joined now by Mike Shorts. He's the VP and GM of Triangle Fluid Controls, based out of Belleville, Ontario. And I'm given to understand, Mike, you're actually traveling right now for a conference related to methane gas and climate change issues.
I am. Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm in New Orleans this week discussing methane emissions and emissions in general with the valve industry, and how our particular industry, the sealing industry for gaskets, can help reduce those emissions targets that are kind of being targeted in the news that came out yesterday between Canada and the U.S.
Yeah, I mean, let's start this, Mike, right at first principles here. What are the primary sources of the methane gas, which is believed to contribute to global warming? What are the primary sources that would be emitted here? We're talking oil and gas sector here. Where does the gas come from and how does it get out?
Well, the emissions from the oil and gas sector themselves really are from just day-to-day operations, just routine maintenance, and whenever a system goes down. So if something happens and there's a failure, there's just that release of emissions. So the oil and gas industry is a small emitter as a whole. The reason it comes up as the highlight within the conversation is because it is the easiest to target for short-term emissions reductions.
When we look at this, I mean, it's not, methane isn't held up in the same category as carbon dioxide is when I talk about warming gases here. Based on what you guys work on in your industry, and obviously you're going to be up on the literature here, how significant a contributor to climate change issues are the scientists worried that methane might be making?
Well, the issue with methane is it's the second most abundant greenhouse gas after carbon dioxide. So when you look at the numbers, methane has what scientists consider a short lifespan in the atmosphere. It only lives there for about 12 years. The problem with that is that its warming potential for our climate is anywhere between 28% and 34%, or 34 times greater than what carbon dioxide is. So it stays there shorter, but it does a lot more damage in a shorter amount of time. So that's why it's the issue that is out there. And out of all of the methane emissions piece, 60% of methane emissions globally come from human activities. So that's industry, agriculture, and our entire waste management process.
So obviously this would be something where we would be able to actually take this on. You had mentioned something very specific, very technical as well. I mean, the valves inside pipe fittings. And when we talk about the oil and gas sector, I mean, one of the things that, I mean, I don't mean to downplay this, but we're talking about probably hundreds of thousands of miles of actual honest-to-God pipes. We're talking both pipes at the refinery level, intricate networks of them. We're talking about the pipelines that crisscross North America and actually move the oil and gas around here. And I'm guessing most of those pipes would probably have a valve on there somewhere. Are we talking, when we talk about the release of methane gas, do we just mean in some cases just a slow leak as part of day-to-day operations?
Sometimes that's what it is. And certainly from our specific industry focus within our company of gaskets, that's what we look at, is we look at those small, slow kind of leak pieces and how we can make those tighter. The biggest emission pieces that are the most easily targeted in the oil and gas industry really tend to be on the valve components that have actuation pieces to them, because the way those actuators that turn those valves and whatnot on and off tend to be driven and powered by natural gas itself. So when that natural gas pressure turns that valve on or off, after it makes that move, that gas then is just released to the atmosphere and put off. So there's technologies available to reduce these types of things out there. Of course, it takes some capital to make that happen. It takes some education to make sure that everybody's understands that information is there, that the technology is there. It's just a process of going through and picking the lowest hanging fruit to be able to change out and do that. And quite frankly, the oil and gas industry has been doing this for many, many years. They've actually been overall reducing their methane emissions since 1990 by about 15%. So oil and gas is increasing in production, but emissions levels are really going down as a whole. So the industry is already doing good things. It's just an easy target for governments and whatnot to go after and say, we need you to do, you know, one step further.
When you heard the figure yesterday, it was 45% in the next 9 years. What was your reaction to that? I mean, you obviously know this stuff inside and out. Did that strike you as a bit of a moonshot, or was that, to your mind, reasonable and attainable?
Personally, I think it's attainable. It may be a partial stretch, but like any good thing, you know, you need a stretch goal to achieve sometimes. But realistically, it's an achievable target, considering, you know, the overall approach of greenhouse gas emission growth rates. Estimates are going up to be, if we don't do anything, it could be increasing 70% from where we're at now. So yeah. To reduce it by 40 to 55%, given what we know is emitting these greenhouse gases now, it really isn't that unrealistic, given the technology that's out there today.
And when my last question for you, Mike, we're really glad you could join me. I appreciate it very much. What do you think the overall response from the industry will be? I mean, is this going to be something where there's going to be people worrying this is going to break their business model? Or do you think overall people will look at this and go, you know what, it's going to be a bit of a stretch, but we think we can do this?
Generally speaking, within the oil and gas industry, within the end user players that are exploring and processing gas, I think as an entire industry, it's going to be construed as a negative piece, that it's going to cost us a lot more money. It's going to make the entire shale gas industry less competitive. So those costs will begin to go up, and that gets passed on to the consumer. So there will be a negative perception, I believe, but overall, from what I understand within the Canadian industry, this plan is actually good for the Canadian producers, because it brings the U.S. producers a little closer to being up to par with what the Canadian producers have been trying to do and doing for years. So it sort of puts Canada and the U.S. on a more even playing field, I think. So for the country, for Canada, I believe it's great. There's Canadian manufacturers like us with Canadian products to support our Canadian markets. And like I keep saying, the solutions are there, and they've been there for a while. So it's just really that one more push to make this all happen.
Mike, we really appreciate your time this morning. New Orleans is a great town. I have kept you away from it for long enough. Go have some fun out there and get some work done as well, if you don't mind.
Thank you very much. I appreciate the time.